Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong and stable in the midst of a very unstable time. Friend, I want to tell you, know the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the day to know him. Guys, I want to welcome you here to episode number 4. And today, guys, our hot topics are going to be the fires that are sweeping California. They're trying to change the city of angels to the gates of hell. And we're going to be talking about that. Also, the potential release of hostages as a deal looks to be in the works. And I've got a lot of things to say about that. And may it be in the mighty name of King Jesus. Guys, we're going to unpack our guest story of how he was in a coma and God Almighty supernaturally intervened. And our guest today is going to be Gabe Perot. Now, guys, my good friend Gabe is here. He's got a brand new book. It's called Built Different. Right on. Built Different. 90 days to become all that God Almighty wants you to be. And I got to talk to him about that. About Harrison Edge Publishing. Schwartz, do you know about Harrison Edge Publishing?
I know nothing.
Hey, I want to ask you. I know that book publishers hit you up all the time. Say, please come out with another profound, life-changing contribution to the body of Jesus. But
you're being really sarcastic and unkind.
I am being unkind right now. I'm very sorry.
You're a great book.
You do got a great
Worthy
book.
Worthy Opponents.
And it was published by BYU, which is not because it's Mormon, because it's the backyard university of publishing houses. You like that?
I do
like that.
That
very much? I knew you would like that. Backyard.
Yes, thank you.
What is the name of your book, Brian Schwartz?
It's called Worthy Opponents.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so you and I talk out the principles in your book constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, like literally like every day you and I are having those conversations.
Yeah, because we have adversity every day. So we need to know how
there's
to face it.
There's a lot of warfare between us, Schwartz. There's a lot of warfare and we need a lot
Seems
of prayer.
To be attracted
it's good to have
us.
My good friend, pastor on staff here, NFL, middle linebacker.
Yes, sir.
For the Jags.
The Jags. Let's not bring that up right now. We're in the middle of searching for a coach.
Listen, man. You're
so
talking,
are you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're talking to a Cowboy fan. Like, are you kidding me, man? Hey, Pot, meet Kettle, man.
Yes.
What a big mess the Cowboys are. But you're like, yeah, no, I know that makes you happy. You want them to be a mess.
Franchise.
What do you call that when you join the team for the first year? What do you call that?
Well, yeah, we were the initial team, the franchise. We were the expansion team.
So it wasn't a team before that that moved, like, you know, Houston moved to Tennessee.
No, nobody moved. It was just they came two new teams, Carolina and Jacksonville. We were a part of that in 1995, man. It was an awesome time.
Well, I'm so happy that you're here. God bless you so much.
Thank you for having me, man.
Right here to my right is my good friend. He's on staff here. He's an awesome man of God. He's a good friend of mine. He also has a podcast that's called I Like Birds. I like birds. Now, he used to do one called I Like Beer, but then he got saved.
You are prophetic.
I still like beer, and I'm like, okay, but I'm not allowed to do that. I'm a pastor. But I'm a brewer. I can't help it. I'm a brewer. What do you expect?
Good to be here with you, Pastor Troy and boys.
I'm so glad you're here. God bless you.
I like
so
beer. Yeah.
I like beer.
And you are prophetic, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, I am. I am pathetic. I'm sorry. Prophetic, is that what you said?
That's
I misunderstand. Yeah, praise God. I'm so happy you're here today, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm so grateful. We have so many people. I actually see David is actually driving in from the conference today, which is awesome. We got some people watching from all over the world, as usual.
And, who else in here?
We got Aaron Ash from Cleburne. We got Karen from Alabama. We got Rachel from Mississippi. We got Robin from North Carolina. Rhonda from Joshua, Texas. We got Ruth from Australia in the house.
Hello.
How about that?
Hello,
we got
Australia.
Jean from Grapevine. We have Mary, who's just so thankful to be partnering with this ministry. She just let us know in the comments. And we also have Lisa from Illinois and so many other people that are tuning in today.
I can see that some of my sons in Uganda, East Africa, are on board here today. So good to see you guys. I love you, boys. I'll be over there to see you here real quick. You were with me last time, or one of the last times I was in Uganda.
Yes.
Brian Schwartz,
you were
actually there with me.
Life-changing. I've never been.
And it's something, isn't it?
I was blown away. Just the whole culture, we called it a habitat of wholeness. Like, it was just A to Z. And getting to see not only the babies, but then that generation that was starting to graduate college.
Mm.
That was cool.
Yeah, man, a bunch is graduating because those are all my boys. I mean, those are like my sons. We raised them. They're good boys. One of them's about to be a heart surgeon.
Wow.
Hey, man, to go from being rescued, I mean, talking about rescued, mm-hmm. to becoming a heart surgeon, and there's so few heart surgeons in the nation of Uganda. You know, I'm really silly, and I don't take myself very seriously, but I want you to know this, man. we take the kingdom so seriously, and we lay down our lives for that. And to get a front row seat for what King Jesus has done over the past 30 years in Uganda is something else. Zach Rippey, you know a thing or two about Uganda.
I do, man. I went there in 2021 into 2022, was there for 21 days and loving on the orphans and widows and just seeing that the joy that they had out there, even though they had so much poverty, but the joy of the Lord is there. They're on the drums worshiping. They're in church way longer than we're in church. And they just, they praise God when they speak. They'll literally talk to you and be like, praise the living God, and then tell you something. I was like, man, it's just so powerful out there, just the way God moves, you know? And, man, I love that place. I have such a heartstring to it, and my family does as well. It's almost like I was born to have a heart for Uganda.
It was, too. You know, the Lord gives you nations, and you don't really know which nations he gives you until you put your foot on it. You're like, oh, wow, I feel at home here. I feel just as home in Uganda as I do in Texas.
That's what it felt like.
I mean, I'm at home when I'm in Uganda.
Yeah.
And so... anyway, yeah, guys, we got a lot of things to talk about here today. Another person that's going to help me talk about all these things is my good friend Rebecca. Some say tomato, I say tamayo. Rebecca Tamayo is here in the house. How are you, Rebecca?
Good, Pastor. I'm glad that you're saying my last name correct.
How do I usually say
it? No, you just say tamayo. It is tamayo.
It is tamayo, yeah, right?
I say tomato all the time in front.
But yeah, tomato. Rebecca Tomato.
Yeah.
And she's like,
it's actually a Mayan last name. So it's a very, very beautiful last name that
I looked it up.
Father.
It means I'll stab you in the neck. That's that's not true. I have no idea. The chickens are loose again. Yeah. I made a reference to my last name, you know, beer, which is brewer, right? That's like, you're not allowed to say beer because you're, it's my name. Like, okay, it actually comes from a long line of people who make tea. Yes, they serve the kings in making tea. Yes, indeed they did. All right, well, the reason why they made beer was because it was liquid bread. That's why. Because they couldn't keep bread long enough, and that's why they did all that. But then they split off and they became the musicians' court of all the kings. That's what the brewers did. And then they split off, and then they became military guys, and then they split off, and then they became preachers.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're a brewer, you either have to be a drunkard, a man of God, a person that a great warrior, or
a court jester,
or a musician. And I'm like, okay, that makes you
like all of above.
Yes, exactly. It's like all of above at one time in my life or another. But my favorite part of the last name Brewer actually means troublemaker. If you look up you have the first one, which means maker of beer, and then the next one means troublemakers and storms brewing on the horizon, or he's brewing something up.
Wow,
come on!
Well, you're doing
man.
That for the I kingdom. Destined, so there you go.
To be a brewer, I'm destined in Jesus' name.
Come on,
troublemaker for Jesus.
I am a troublemaker.
I love it.
I love how you refer to yourself as the brewer. I text you on Sunday. You're like, the brewer was in the Maxwell house.
Yes. Well, the Maxwell house.
Yeah.
So it was Pastor Jim Maxwell. I'm the brewer. The and Maxwell house, right?
Yeah,
the brewer.
I was the Maxwell house.
Listen, a lot of people don't really appreciate the level of
intelligence that you got.
It's funny. It's
I was like, we talked earlier, a comedian needs a certain audience.
They got to have a certain audience.
To be funny.
Yes.
Other audiences?
Rebecca, what are you doing here today? What is your job?
We are here. There's so much going on. First of all, we're just all grateful for everybody that is watching, everybody that's partnered with us. There is a lot happening this week. First of all, we want to ask you to like, share, and comment. When you like, share, and comment, you are being a media missionary. A lot of people are like, you just want us to repost. No, this is a way that you can be a missionary. If you can't come with us, you can repost, comment, share, tag. That is you sharing and being the hands and feet of Jesus. Also, we have our New Beginning Conference.
Ooh.
When does that start?
It starts Wednesday night, and we're going to be super pumped about it. I'm super pumped about it. Everybody, you can tell like something's brewing. Mm-hmm. Hey,
something is brewing in the atmosphere.
I know that, you know, we're just talking about, you know, it's funny. We come up with like content ideas, you know, like, oh, what can we do to promote it? You know, but we started talking about like, what are we expectant of and asking people that. And then the Lord just started highlighting the things to me personally of like fresh wind, refreshing anointing.
And new
like,
sound.
Yeah, new sound, a new level that we're tapping into, you know? And so I'm excited for this conference coming up.
So we go
weekend.
All the way out. It's the biggest conference we do all year. I'm this thing 15th, 16th, 17th. We got a bunch of things going on the 18th and 19th as well. But Wednesday night, I'm bringing my prophetic word for the year to come. We're going to have the blowing of the shofars. We're going to lose our mind up in here, and it's going to be craziness.
Amen.
And then everybody that I have invited that shows up, we call that the VIP list. It's my friends from all over the world that do amazing ministry. I'm bringing every single one of them up on the stage, and we're going to just do shotgun prophesying.
Come on. We're ready.
And, man, we're believing God. Mm-hmm. You know, we're believing God for breakthrough. And, again, it's the biggest conference we do. I just got off my 10-day fast. I had billions of fat cells crying out. It was like, okay, voice of God, billions of fat cells. But I got past it all, and I did hear God speak, and I had a profound encounter with Jesus on the 4th of January this year.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I have not told everybody publicly. You guys know what it is. And it's like, have you guys ever even heard of anything like that happening before?
No, sir.
No.
Mm-mm. I have never heard of it happening.
No.
I have a mad, radical pinball machine at my house, and it is a Star Wars Collector's Edition pinball. It's made by Stern, it's signed by Stern. Wow. It is like best pinball machine in the world. I'm the pinball king. I love me some pinball machines.
Do you shake that thing? Brother,
I have no need because...
Oh, it's that?
No, listen. You're that precise. The ball is submitted to my will when I play. Thank you. So
that's a great sound effect.
Yeah, I love those sound effects.
I know, I love them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Taylor, for being here.
With that said, man, after I had this encounter with Jesus down in my creek bed, which is where I go to seek the Lord, and I have several strategic places where I seek God for specific outcomes. Like there's certain battlefields I go to that I pray battlefield prayers on. Mm-hmm. Like I'm about to start going off into all that, but like when I go to the Alamo and pray, I literally go there to pray because I know the Alamo forward and backwards. I know exactly where everything happened. I've read at least 10 books on it, probably 20 or 30 books over my lifetime. I have led tours through the Alamo. I know the Alamo. Now that I've said all that, when I go there to pray, I go there to pray over unbelievable defeats that I've had, that God would change that place from a place of shame into a place of honor, because that's what the Alamo is. Mm-hmm. I mean, they lost. I'm talking about lost. But nobody goes there and shames them. Everybody goes to that place where they lost, because you can lose a battle and still win the war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I go there sometimes. I go to San Antonio just to pray at the Alamo and say, Lord, I've lost another battle, and I cannot lose this war. I can't lose this war. So I do. I like to go to strategic places to pray prophetic prayers. And I've got a dadgum really cool creek, you know, in the back part of my property in Glen Rose, Texas. It's got dinosaur tracks in it. Not very many people got dinosaur tracks on their property. I do. In your face.
Legend.
Now that I've said that, I'm like, you know what? If God's going to bless me with a cool place like that, I bet he would be happy I go down there and seek the Lord, because there's not very many people have anything like that.
And use it for his glory.
Just go, man. Just go down there and just go with Jesus. While I was down there on the fourth day of January, on the fourth day of my fast, I had an encounter with Jesus. It was not something I dreamed. It was not something I imagined. It was something incredibly tangible happened. And I'm going to wait until Wednesday night and tell everybody about it on Wednesday night, show everybody the pictures. I actually took pictures of the event.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And I took videos of the event.
Yeah.
I have videos and I have pictures of this encounter that I had with Jesus, and I'm going to bust. That's the first bull out of the chute, man.
Love it. Remember that day you called me? That's a significant moment. Well, it's a real prophetic picture.
After it was all over with, I did not know how to process what had just happened, because I've never even heard of anything like that happened. I just went and played pinball for 2 hours. And I'm just sitting there playing pinball, man, just crying, just going, what have you done, Jesus? How am I supposed to process this? How do I think about this? And I really didn't know how to.
Yeah.
It was so over the top, and God's goodness was so good to me. And how he manifested and what he did, I'd never even heard of anything like that before. I didn't know what else to do except for go play pinball.
What a teaser you're giving the people to come see this conference.
Anyway,
we got tickets left. You can go to
that's not even the message. And that's not even, so you can. Right on. So what else are we supposed to tell everybody before I get off into this, because we're 15 minutes
in? There is tickets still available. We are directing people towards troybrewer.com register and then events, and you could buy tickets. I do believe VIP have been sold out, but you still have time for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We have tickets for $77. Please, if you cannot come in person, you can watch online. So I love that we
can
do that.
It's transferable, right? So it's transferable. You can watch it online or you can show up in person.
Yes.
All my ODX family, I will be seeing you at the special event tomorrow night. The ODX at 5 p.m. tomorrow night, and it's free to all the people that signed up. I think it's already sold out.
Yep, it's already full.
It's completely full, and you'll be like, I need to get in. And yeah, that's what they said at the ARC. You should have showed up, man. Come on, man. Like, come on. Let me in.
You had plenty of warnings.
We've been telling you for a year, dude. Sign up. So now it's sold out. Now people are like, I have pastor issues. I trusted you. I'm like, dude, I told you. Mm-hmm. I told you.
We've got a prayer tent.
We do have a prayer tent for you. We do. We have holy anointing oil.
Maybe they can become lifetime members to get in.
That's a little teaser, too, that we will release at the ODX gathering. Something.
That's exactly right, my friend.
So before we transition, you will be on the Eric Seckelback show tonight again. It will be re-airing.
Trinity Broadcasting Network tonight. Do you know what time it is? 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. It is a 30-minute documentary on how we rescue kids out of sexual slavery over the planet Earth, including our work and really focusing it's a 30-minute documentary that focuses on the work we do on the Tex-Mex border. Eric actually traveled with me down there. We took a film crew down there. It was an amazing time, and how they captured it is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And guys, we just about 4 months ago, 6 months ago, we rescued our 11,000th child out of sexual trafficking. We have about 4,400 children under our care right now. You're like, you big silly goober. What? Like, listen, there's some things I don't play about. And I'm telling you guys, raising these kids, it's one thing to rescue a child. It's another thing to take on the responsibility of raising that child, because it's not like we kick them out when they turn 18 years old. You were in Uganda with me. My boys who are on here right now, they're in their mid-20s, moving into their late 20s. They still need help because they're becoming doctors. They're becoming lawyers. They're becoming like, you don't just cut that off.
Starts
when
early. I remember having lunch with all those kids in that one home, the home I was in, the Forever Home, and they already, I went around the table, what do you want to be? What do you want? They're all, I'm a pastor. They're not saying I want to be. They're saying I'm a pastor. I'm a surgeon. And I'm a lawyer.
And how old are those kids?
Oh, they're what? Nine, eight, nine.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, we don't play when it comes to raising our kids.
Identity, man.
And I will not put a child into a rescue home that I would not put my grandchildren in. The rescue homes have to be awesome. Amen. Yeah. It has cost us tens of millions of dollars over the past decade to do this. And it's so funny. We were talking about it earlier. We have less money in the bank right now than we've had in probably 7 or 8 years. And like, that's what I promised I would do. I promised I would do that. If the Lord would trust me, if he would test me with abundance, that's what I would do.
Yes.
So friends, I want to encourage you, get in the fight. Come on, man, get in the fight. Let's go. Let's save somebody. Let's raise somebody. Man, let's see a life change. Guys, you can call the number that's on the screen. It's 877-413-0888. I have a whole lot of people that are standing by right now, right here at Open Door Church, an amazing team of intercessors that's ready to receive your phone call. They're ready to pray with you, but they're also ready for you to say, I'm not just going to sit back and feel sorry for kids. I'm going to help rescue them, and I'm going to help raise them. Friends, call that number. Or if you're a snail mail guy like me and you're like, I don't trust old China, they're gonna get on there and they're going to see me. You can just write a check out to P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 760. Is it 97? That's a brand new zip code, which makes me crazy. Like, oh, man, that's not what it's been my whole life. So it's now 76097. But yes, again, sir. P.O. Box 3775. Write your check out to Troy Brewer Ministries. Help me rescue a little boy, a little girl. And if you come on Wednesday night, Thursday night, or Friday night, you're going to meet some of my rescued kids that are all grown up because I'm bringing them in.
That's going to be
And it's crazy cool.
Yeah, we're so ready.
It is, it is crazy cool. I'm just going to tell you this, too. On Tuesday night, one of my rescuers is going to be here, and he is a colonel in the Army in Colombia.
Wow.
Wow.
And he and I partner together. He goes out into the jungle and takes machine guns. We point them. We say, go there, go there, go there. Wow. And then we hear a bunch of gunshots, and then the brother comes out and says, here's your kids.
Okay. Wow. You want to meet that guy? That cat's going to be here.
On Wednesday or Thursday?
He's going to be here on Thursday night.
Thursday. Okay.
And he's a bad motor scooter. I'm telling you right now. Come on, man. If you're going to do this, like, no. We don't just rescue kids. We rescue the rescuers.
Amen. Yeah.
This guy's a tremendous rescuer. If I can just tell you a story about this guy real quick, because you're going to want to meet this guy on Thursday night. You're going to want to see him. He called us a couple of years ago, and he's famous for this. They were out in the jungle. Now, if anybody has seen the movie Sound of Freedom, there is the part where they go down to Leticia, Colombia, and they go into the jungle to rescue a child. As far as I know, not to put down Tim Ballard, because I praise God for him. That's a great movie. I love the movie. And they certainly, as far as I know, Tim Ballard absolutely rescued those guys, those kids off that island. They actually did that. But I think the part where they went to Leticia, Colombia, and rescued the other part, I don't think that that's certainly not a part of the same story, right? Mm. Okay, but that's our story. We're the guys that go into Leticia, Colombia. Yeah. We've been going down into Leticia, Colombia now for 21 years, and we've had a rescue center for kids for 21 years. I'm the guy that goes up the river and pretends I'm a doctor to go rescue kids. Mm-hmm. I am that guy. We have literally done that. And then it showed up in the movie, and I'm like, they've been watching my media.
That's my line.
We're like, what the heck? Okay, this guy, if you can imagine, this guy goes, he has a group of guys in Leticia, Colombia.
Wow.
And goes and takes on the cartel that was portrayed in the movie Sound of Freedom.
Wow. Yeah.
They're walking through the jungle. They go to engage this hideous army that enslaves human beings in a horrible way. And one of his guys steps on a landmine. Doesn't blow up because he doesn't step off of it.
Wow.
And he tells everybody, you need to run and fix and step off this thing. That colonel said, go get me. Go get me a bulletproof vest. One got him a bulletproof vest, and he comes up there, and he got within a few feet from him and said, listen, we're going to pray about this. Hmm. And he had his entire guys. Mind you, they're in war mode. Yeah. And he says, okay, we got to go to war like this now. They called us and said, will you please be in prayer? Dude's standing on a landmine. Hmm. We're like, okay. Call us and let us know how that goes. That brother prayed. They all prayed. All those guys that was in war mode, they prayed. We prayed, and he said, okay, let's do this. Guy stepped off. It malfunctioned and didn't go off.
Come on.
Praise the Lord.
We got so many miracles like that. Amen. I know most churches do not have testimonies like that. We do. And that cat's going to be here. So that guy got a reputation of, dude, you want to be a part of his squad. Even though he goes into the jungle and goes on hand-to-hand combat. I'm talking about many times hand-to-hand combat.
Yes, sir.
With the people that are trafficking our children. And it is a rough, horrible job. But he is an amazing man of God. And he loves Jesus with all of his heart. Wow. And so he's going to be here. Now he's an ambassador to the nation of Mexico.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, we got so many testimonies. What the Lord has done with us is next level. It's over the top. And heard you guys come out and be a great big part of it here at the conference this week. So if they want to get tickets, how do they do that?
You could go to troybrewer.com/events and click on it, and it's the easiest way to go. And also don't forget that every night, is it every night or the first night that everybody gets a prophetic word? I've been coming to Open Door for 10 years. Every word that I've gotten is the word that I needed to hear from the Lord. Can you just give a little teaser before going into our transition video?
In written form, our elders and our prayer teams, they come up with all these prophetic words. We put them into envelopes. Mm-hmm. We have no idea who's going to get what.
Yes, sir.
We have no idea who's. It's part of the package that you get whenever you sign up. And then there comes a time at the end of the night where we all open up those words and see if it belongs to us. And it's so cool, man, to be up there looking out, you know, at 1,000 people and going, wow, and everybody just starts bawling and squalling. Cool. And the Holy Spirit moves in such a big
beautiful way.
So this is it, guys. Mm-hmm. This is the week, and I double dog dare you to come out and to be a part of this. Now, we're about to transition into having our guest here today, and I'll introduce him whenever we come back. But, guys, this is also your opportunity to say, hey, I want to support this ministry. I want to be a part of this thing. I want to help Pastor Troy serve, protect, and raise a kid, right? I want to help you rescue a kid. I want to help you with all these. I want to help you preach the gospel of Jesus. This is your opportunity to do that. Call the number or simply go to odx.tv. And don't forget that if you are a third stage member at odx.tv, you get to see this week's conference and every single conference I do throughout the year for free because you're already a partner at odx.tv. All right. So you guys want to say anything else before we go to the transition?
We're ready for the commercial for the Eric Steckelbeck show.
All right. So guys, we're going to go into this commercial and guys, y'all need to know that the Eric Steckelbeck tonight at 6:30 Central Standard Time, he's going to be airing the amazing documentary that they made on me being down at the border rescuing kids. Here's a little commercial for it. Watch this.
Up to 8 million children disappear every single year. And most of them are victims of an underground industry generating over $150 billion every single year. The government and the media, they seem powerless to be able to solve this epidemic of human trafficking, but you can make a great big difference. Troy Brewer Ministries is a ministry that's dedicated to making a difference one child at a time. And in the past 30 years, we have delivered 11,000 children from this living nightmare of sexual trafficking. And with your help, we can come to rescue thousands and thousands more. At Troy Brewer Ministries, we're not just rescuing and raising kids, but we are actually training nations to do the same. And friends, we work with foreign government agencies to identify and rescue children who are in desperate need of our help. Now, with 51 children's homes across all the globe, we actually provide food and clothing and shelter and the love and the truth of Jesus to every single child. Will you rise to this challenge? And would you please link arms with us? As we follow Jesus in carrying out this mission, this is his mission. Simply call 877-413-0888 in order to get started, or you can simply visit us at troybrewer.com for more information.
Well, there you go. Not a bad little commercial.
It's fantastic, man.
My goodness. Well, yeah, it is good. You know, one of my favorite parts out of all the different scenes that are on there is that is the that girl, she's not a little girl. She's an 18-year-old girl. And we were down in, where were we at? It was on the Guatemalan border. We were down at Redemption Ranch is where we have a Redemption Ranch in Chiapas, Mexico, which is on the Guatemalan border. And we were down there and we rescued this little girl. This little girl was called a horrible name. A horrible name. I'm not even going to repeat it. But she's a well-known prostitute, and it was her daddy that actually prostituted her. And he would take her. He would literally parade her in the back of her truck from the time that she was real young to this time. We called her up there, knowing that she needed to be rescued. So she came up there wearing a red dress, thinking that was what we were there for. And then Swanmi was there. Leanna was there. I'm going to start bawling, and I kind of quit it. Dadgum, I need a testosterone shot. I'm having an estrogen fit. This is such a precious moment to me, man. So she came up there. We saw her walking up the hill, and we're like, here she comes. We had prepared a place for her. We had prepared everything for her. She had no idea that her life was going to change that day. And she comes up there, and then we tell her. And, of course, Swanmi was my translator. And so up until that moment, she thought that we were there to buy her, you know. And we're like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set you up in an apartment, and we want to show you your apartment. We're going to separate you from the monsters that are selling you. We know that you probably need a doctor, and we want to get you set up with a doctor. And your life is going to change as of today. Jesus sent us down here because he sees you, and he wanted us to rescue you. And she starts crying, like, seriously, like, yeah, and anything you want to do. If you want to go to school, we'll send you to school. We know that you haven't been allowed to go to school. And she's like, well, I can read a little bit. And I'm like, okay, well, if you want to go to school, we'll get you in school, you know. And if you want this, you want this. And she's like, what? And I'm like, she's like, how do you even know about me? I'm like, we don't. Jesus knows about you. And Jesus sent me all the way down here to rescue you because he loves you. So we get to talking to her. Well, we only know her by this bad name. And it's a terrible name. And it's a demonic name that everybody called her. And I was like, hey, we don't even know what your name is. And she says, my name is Nimshi. And Swanami, who is a Mexican girl, said, that's not a Mexican name. Like, what is it? She goes, no, it's Hebrew. Like, you are a Mexican girl with a Hebrew name? She goes, yeah, it's my mama died when I was 11, which they came and got her and put her into prostitution when she was 11 years old because her mama died. But she said, but my mama was a good Christian girl. She named me Nimshi. Like, what does Nimshi mean? It means rescued.
Perfect.
Oh, it was a Katie bar the door moment. We all went, we all started bawling and squalling.
So powerful.
Gabe Perreault. Gabe, I can't believe you're on my show today, man. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to it.
I want to give you a proper introduction, but I mean, you're sitting here at the table, and I want to tell you, I've got to know you a little bit through some conferences and through some things. I think you're friends with Joseph Z. Is that right? I love me some Joseph Z. I promise you. And
is that the Colorado false prophet?
Yeah, you've heard about him. Huh? Yeah, you've heard about you've seen his hate mail stack. Hallelujah. Oh, I love me some Joseph Z. I was actually talking to him yesterday. Gabe, when I first heard that you were going to be here, I was like, who is this cat? Who is this? And when they tell me who you were, I'm like, I know who this dude is. Wow. Really and truly. It is a great privilege to have you on the Pulse here with us today. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's a true honor and something that I take very seriously, especially knowing everything you guys do for the kingdom of God and for the most precious to the Lord and his own children. It's truly an honor, and we've been looking forward to it.
Friends, Gabe Perreault is a speaker. He's an author. He's an evangelist. He's a bad motor scooter. His mission is to share the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this next generation, and he's serious about it. He's got over 2 million YouTube subscribers, which is redonkulous. And you're like, well, that doesn't mean nothing. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. You know what? You and your beautiful bride are such influencers, and I want to say welcome. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's quite interesting. You said I'm a bad scooter. I was riding a electric skateboard 3.5 years ago, well, almost 4 years ago, and hit the bump in the middle of the road, flipped off of it, and cracked my skull in half.
Oh.
And my lung failed.
Now, when you say you cracked your head, you literally
Yeah, no, I'm definitely serious about it. I mean, I could show you the MRIs, but my skull was cracked all the way down from top to bottom.
Oof.
That's like a parent's worst nightmare, and that's what like my mother-in-law says to my kids all the time. You're going to crack your head open. You're going to crack. Don't do that, you know?
I used to say, you'll shoot your eye out. But in your case, Gabe, you got out there. You actually landed on your head.
Did you land on the bat?
Straight on the bat. I so landed on my head that actually no other part of my body was injured.
Wow.
At the time, I was riding the skateboard, of course, without a helmet, because helmets are for weirdos.
You know? Yeah, for limp-wristed Christians.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Weak beta males, you know what I'm saying?
Soy drinkers.
Yeah, totally.
Skinny jean wearing.
Oh, yeah. So, I was racing my friends at the time, going about 25, 30 miles per hour, and just did a little bump, flipped off, landed directly on my head. In fact, a guy driving in a car behind me was shocked that he even just witnessed what he saw. And then I immediately went out of consciousness, was breathing once every 60 seconds, and I was gone. And my friend propped me up, my practically dead body at the time, and called an ambulance. And for the next 18 days, I was in a coma. And they asked my parents, they called them in from Virginia. They asked them what I was like, talking about me in past tense. Even the nurses were even almost joking, like, did he even write a last will? Here I was, a 20-year-old, I hadn't even turned 21 yet, and face-to-face with life and death. And that was actually just in 2021. And I was in that status for about 18 days, 2.5 weeks. And
Gabe, I'm going to tell you, before we go any further, I'm so sorry, bro. My heart just breaks over that. I can't. No, it does. Listen, I know there's going to be a good ending. I know there is. But I swear, brother, if I'd have known you, I would have been your friend, I would have done anything in the world for you. You know what? I'm so sorry that you were. I can't even imagine how traumatic that is. You know, I make fun of a lot of things. I make fun of my friends. I make fun of me. I get on everybody's nerves because I am not a very serious dude when it comes to us. Stuff like, man, it is. I'm amazed at what people go through. Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed at the hell that people
go through.
It's
trauma, man. That's real trauma.
And you went through it. And so you were in a coma for 18 days.
Yeah.
So you know what the number 18 means?
Tell me.
It means life.
How about that?
Hebrew number for life.
Yep.
18 is.
Yep.
It's when you come back to life. That's what 18 is. L'cham.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So, well, Troy, I appreciate you saying that, but in all honesty, I actually have no trauma from the entire
That's
accident.
Awesome. I was going to ask how, if you had any, no physical either, no brain trauma.
So I'll tell you what happened if you put that photo back up on there. So that, that white, I don't know. What,
bandage?
Bandage, yeah, thank you. The white bandage on the top right of my head. Actually
no was, brain trauma. Yeah. That's what
you're saying. Let's erase that. Listen.
No, let's
edit that part out.
I'm perfectly healed.
I didn't know what it was before my accident.
I am perfectly peeled.
As my eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Blinking. No. That bandage on the top of my head was covering up a 3-centimeter hole that they actually drilled right into my brain. Yep. The pressure was so bad that they were on the verge of actually. Also, the ventilator wasn't giving me the air. My brain had so much pressure that they were almost afraid that it was going to crack open again and just fall flat dead on the ground at any moment. So they actually were just about to bring a. They were going to perform a tracheotomy on me, where they're going to take out. They were going to tube my voice. Yep. And it was roughly 1 or 2 days before they performed. They were getting ready to perform that tracheotomy. That my friends and family who were there, they said, "No, he will live and not die." And they spoke the word of God over me. Mm. And they took a stand for me when no one else could, when no one else was going to, when I myself had no voice. They spoke up for me. And sure enough, November 14th, 2021. The Spirit of the Lord brought me back to my body, and I was miraculously healed. And while it did take a little bit of time for my hair to grow back, other than that...
What beautiful hair you have, by the way. Hey, you got, his brother's got tremendous hair.
Yep, that was the most traumatic moment of it all, was waking up to a half head of hair.
Okay.
And
I've done that, and it's terrible.
No. But seriously, I was actually laughing coming back. The nurses were running in, you know, bawling their eyes out. He's awake. And my family's crying, you know, my friends, my entire community, my, you know, just my entire world had gone through one of the most challenging 2.5 weeks. Even my own friends who were holding my lifeless body in their arms, they obviously have, and still to this day, they have not fully told me their experience because it is that traumatic for them. And so I always recognize that. Now, however, you know, I knew that it was just a short amount of time, and I knew I was coming back. And when the Lord sent me back, I just have never worried about anything since.
Okay, so I got to ask you a couple things because we got to talk about your encounter. We got to talk about this whole thing, how that when you came back, that you have a grace on you now that is different than before then. Was you aware of where you were at during those 18 days?
So, and this is where we get to the point where, you know, it's so much easier, Troy, to talk about the California fires and the release of the hostages and to talk about all the current events, because it's like, we on this earth are so used to categorizing our experiences, describing our experiences, and of course in the English language, which can only do 1/100th of the justice that is actually necessary for the experience that I'm describing to you. And to fit it into a viewer's understanding where they could actually comprehend what I'm about to tell them is something that I pray I can reach, but I'll know while I'm on this earth, I'll never fully be able to describe that heaven is not about a place. Heaven is not about a location. It's not about you get in your car and drive to heaven. Oh, you just took a quick trip to heaven and back. I see some testimonies nowadays where people have like these YouTube channels where they have had like 365 trips to heaven and back. And I'm just like, I'm like, excuse me. I don't know what type of heaven you've been. But for me, the heaven I was at wasn't about a place. It was about who. It wasn't a location. It was a person.
And yes, Jesus, love you, Lord.
This person of Jesus, he dares you to attempt to bring any religion into his very eyesight because it will not stand a second within his presence. And to be honest with you, Troy, one of the best ways I can describe my experience is there's a reason why actually the last place I want to go to on today's earth is most of these churches, and they're not even a church. They're not a part of the body of Christ. They're a fake alphabet mafia religion that has perverted the gospel of Christ. I don't apologize for saying that.
It's great.
I'm just being upfront and clear with you. Anyways, we can go into more details about that. But
I want to talk Christian mafia. I know all about the Christian mafia. I want to talk it. So we'll probably go there here within the next few minutes.
I came back and I said the last place I want to go is most of these churches.
God,
everybody said, "Oh, you want to go share your testimony at all these churches?" Absolutely not.
Yeah. That's okay. I would rather reach the piano pickers in the cat house. Thank you very much.
Yes.
We'll go after them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So the heaven was not about the place. It was about the person. Mm-hmm. I have a friend named Danny Kay who he had a heaven experience. And that's what he says over and everybody wants to know all about heaven. He goes, man, heaven's amazing. But it's that Jesus is there. And he says that all the time. I mean, I did a long interview with him last year, and then he's like, "Look," he goes, it almost feels like what did he say? He said it feels like adultery for me to be talking about how awesome heaven is. Mm. Heaven is awesome because Jesus is there.
Yeah. It's a gross in-service and injustice to place the things of God above God Himself. It's a slap in the face. It actually is a representation of how we have so watered down the truth of who Jesus is into our version of like this commercial, just chalant, comfortable gospel. It's a slap in the face, and it'll be a truth that you can either realize now or you'll realize it one day.
It's the price that we pay when you make the gospel of the kingdom all about evangelism to the world instead of discipleship, mm-hmm. falling in love with Jesus and following him.
Yeah.
And I say all the time, you know what, man, I'm all about the gospel. I'm all about the gospel, but let me tell you what Jesus preached. Jesus preached the gospel of his kingdom, the kingdom, yes. the kingdom, the kingdom, not the gospel of salvation. Hmm. I believe in the gospel of salvation. It is an important part. There is the gospel of salvation. But salvation, you can be a Christian and not be a part of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be a Christian that's not a part of the kingdom. I want to be a Jesus dude that is madly in love with Jesus. Yeah. I want to love Jesus more tomorrow than I did today. I want to constantly grow in my love for him. I want to be clearly fascinated with him in every single way. I'll tell you this, I can't go off into it because I got to on Wednesday, but I promise you, and I even documented it, I was seeking the Lord on the 4th and just like, I'm here for Jesus. I'm not here just because it's time to pray. I am here for Jesus. And the Lord manifested on the 4th in a crazy way. Like I never expected him. I literally left there going, I didn't know you did that. Mm. I want to keep seeing Jesus in a way like, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know that's who you were. And I always find out who I am through seeing him. Because I only know me through my own personal experience with me. And it's not very good. There's some cool things O'Troy's done. But to live with him 24 hours a day? Oh, no, man. I don't wish that on anybody except for Leanna. Hallelujah. So with that said, for him to love me the way that he loves me, I find out something new about me every single time that I come into the presence of the Lord. Because he tells me the fact that he loves me the way he loves me blows my mind.
Well, if you find him, you'll find yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
You encounter him and you take off the veil off of your vision where you can clearly see him, you'll clearly see yourself. And that's why most of even the people listening to this message today, I pray that they would open up their heart and genuinely bring themselves to the truth of the love of God today. That they would let down their walls, Troy. Because most people, when they hear of encounters, when they hear of experiences, when they hear of testimonies, their walls of trauma and abuse and pride and their own ambitions immediately go up because the enemy knows that if they'll catch the truth of how loved they are by God, it would change everything.
Jesus says the truth will set you free.
The knowledge, he said the experiential knowledge. Moses, you know, as you guys are talking, Moses in Exodus 33, you know, Yahweh comes and goes, I'll send an angel with you guys, but I ain't going.
Yeah.
And Moses is like, no way.
Yeah,
like he just cried out. He's like,
"No way, Yahweh!
No way, Yahweh!" Because the promise, like the like you said, heaven without the person of Jesus, is chaos. The promise without Father's presence is just, it's not a promise. So that's what shifted most in you? Like after that happened,
that's the thing. I can't just describe it.
Yeah.
And it also wasn't even conscious, to be completely upfront with you. It was a subconscious, complete change of my perspective on everything. And wow. I honestly roll my eyes now when I hear people say, I just want to make it to heaven. I just want to be saved one day. I just want to avoid hell. Are you kidding me? He's not a get out of hell free card. He wants you, the full you, now. And you don't have to make it to heaven. You can actually have a fellowship with heaven now where you are as a relationship. God never wanted you to sign up for a religion or attend something. He wanted to know you. And this type of intimacy that honestly God wants with all of us is something that none of us have even experienced. God showed us the intimacy he wanted by giving us marriage, but and that's why marriage is the most attacked form of structure on this planet, is because it's actually the structure that God gave to show us the intimacy that he wanted with us.
I love this kid.
I do too.
Don't you love him, man?
No, he's amazing.
Listen, yeah, man, your language, really listen, I see you look like Jesus to me. Mm-hmm. No. Don't get me wrong. I literally see Jesus in you, and which proves to me you've seen Jesus. And I'm so grateful for you, honestly. Now, you need to hear me say this, okay? I feel really privileged just to be sitting here with you because of how you carry the presence of Jesus with you. It's cool. So that's not an idle thing. It's how you carry the presence of Jesus, man. It's like, wow, you really have seen Jesus. I want to say I've seen Jesus. I promise you. Do you believe me?
I do.
I've seen him. I've seen him face to face.
I know you have.
I promise, I give you my word as a man of God, right here before Jesus.
No, yeah.
I've seen Jesus. I have. And it's a long story. I have to tell it to you one of these days. But I've also encountered him in a lot more subtle ways that took me over in ways I didn't know it had taken me over, because he killed the thing. You know, there's this thing in Jewish law that when you kill an animal, you have to do it in a way that it's restful. You can't just slaughter it. There's this thing, okay? So I don't know if you know about the ashes of red heifer and all the red heifers that are over there. They're literally practicing how to kill those animals in a way that the animal doesn't know it's being killed. I have a friend of mine that's teaching them. He's a cowboy from Texas. Like, I know how to do that, by God. And so he's over there doing that. Our Jewish friends can always count on us, Texas, to show them how to slaughter things. So
in a peaceful way.
In a peaceful way.
Of course.
In a way that is well, yes. Slaughter. Dude, honestly, sometimes how the Lord has put to death things in me and replaced it with life has been so subtle. I didn't even know it was just in relationship with him. He just became bigger. And I suddenly realized, I don't have that in my life anymore. Or I forgot that was ever a thing for me. It was always a thing. I'm like, Lord, what have you done? And he's like, oh, yeah, he died. Don't worry about any of that. And then there are the times that you have the big encounters. Like what I had happen on the 4th, okay, it was so non-religious that I questioned what it was for a few minutes until I heard something. And again, I'll go off on it on Wednesday. But there was no stained glass. It didn't feel churchy at all. But this thing happened that was Jesus while I was in a creek bed on the 4th, and I went, that's the Lord. And as soon as I came to that conclusion, oh, I never seen Jesus show up like this, but this is the Lord. I heard a voice, and I'll tell you right now what the voice said. I'll tell you what it said. It said, triumph in the zeal of the Lord. Okay, that's not a phrase Troy Brewer would use. Triumph in the zeal of the Lord. Okay, and it was the word of God came to me like that on the 4th of January. Well, I didn't know even know what to do with it. I went and played pinball for a couple of hours. It just went. I just need to just spend time just being. It was so non-religious that and it was so powerful. I don't know.
That's how I know you're telling the truth, and that's how I almost test people when they tell me they have an encounter with Jesus. You know, it's become like a new iPhone thing. Everybody, you know, everybody has another encounter. But immediately I could tell because it's. It's It's their entire perspective of how, honestly, the greatest enemy of Jesus is religion. I would almost argue the greatest enemy of Jesus right now is the current version of Christianity that the world has, honestly.
That is profound.
I have no shame in saying that either.
We have no shame in saying we agree with that.
Absolutely.
And so I say this all the time, and I get in a lot of trouble. And as I said on Sunday when I was preaching at another church, I come with a warning label, and I'm not here to make anybody a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not. I'm here to bring the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the kingdom is where the throne of Jesus is, which is all about the presence of Jesus, right? Where the king has dominion. Mm-hmm. I'm a kingdom man because I'm a king guy. And so the current version of Christianity, like, okay, I have a video that went viral. It has millions of views as a short clip. And I get the most hate mail out of any video that you can possibly imagine out of it. And it is simply me saying, Jesus is not nice.
Yeah.
He's kind and he's wonderful, but he's not nice. Jesus is not a hippie.
We're reposting that today, by the way. I'm serious. It's scheduled at 3 o'clock.
It is visceral. Yes. And it's Christians. It's Christians.
Yes.
Of course.
That are like, no, he is nice. No, he's not. If you want to see what Jesus is like, you don't look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's how you see how the Father is like. Jesus came to put a face on the Father. Yeah. You want to see what he looks like? Look in the book of Revelation.
Revelation. Yep.
That's the revelation of Jesus.
And that's the Jesus everyone is soon to encounter.
That's right. Yep. That's the one that's coming back.
And you better buckle
it's
up.
It's not the hippie, soy-drinking Jesus that everybody thinks is. He's just here to help you process your feelings. Yeah. He doesn't give a rip about your feelings.
He's the one Joshua met.
And you do not care about your feelings either when you're in the presence of Jesus. Right. Everything that you thought was a priority changes in the presence of Jesus. Changes.
He doesn't ask for your opinion either.
It's like Joshua 5. That's who Joshua encountered.
This is a Joshua 5 moment. This is a Joshua 5 moment.
And I just really, truly want to clarify something. I love it that people want to attempt at portraying him through these TV shows and go right ahead. He looks nothing like these people have portrayed him to be. I'm sorry, but it actually makes me sick the way, like how inaccurate it is. Troy, I can't even watch. I can't even listen to most of these. And even I want to say there are amazing artists out there. The Lord has given you a gift to paint and such. But when I see most artists paint Jesus, it is almost like it's like a joke to me because it's just so, it's not even their fault. It's just, they've been so misportrayed a version of Jesus that they're just painting what they, you know, think to be the best. But
I kind of disagree with that. I think that in the Bible, we see Jesus show up in different forms, right? We see him when he's walking through the town, he's in a different state. He was walking alongside different people in the Bible, disguises different things, right? So like, can he be viewed differently in everybody's perspective that they'll most connect with, or just the way he wants to present themselves to him?
Sure. I certainly hear that. But okay, what I'm referencing specifically is the paintings of him that are very soft, that are very dull, that are very go along with flow. And I certainly, again, I'm not judging anyone specifically. I'm only saying that the Jesus I encountered was not soft or just go along with the flow. And so, there's one painting that I will say is on the more accurate side. And I'm sure there are more, but I'm touching on that topic.
I think that most people that portray Jesus, whether in acting or whether in paintings or whatever, is more connected with the humanity of Jesus.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
I think there's a clear warning.
That's a good way to put it.
But I think there's also a clear warning on why we're not supposed to attempt to depict and bring him down.
So
I'm just saying, like, there's.
I listen. When I saw Jesus, when I saw him, I can tell you that there's. You said it. There's really not words except for he showed up for me, okay, specifically for me, or he stopped. He was on his way to fight a battle, which you're like, Jesus fought. He did. And he was in full-blown war mode when he showed up. And he looked, when I first saw him face-to-face, his appearance was younger than what I thought it would be, but I also knew he was the oldest person in the entire
yes
universe
yes
at the same time. He He made himself to be viewable by me and for me to be able to see him, and everything that he's had on him was something that he wanted me. He was very intentional about how I saw him.
Yes.
Okay. That's one thing. It's another thing when you're in his presence for 18 days and you see the unfettered without the complexities of your soul to deal with. That's a whole different,
And then how do you, I guess the question I would have too is like, how do you help? Like, obviously I don't know a ton of what you're doing, but I'm assuming a part of that is helping people engage that authentic,
of course,
Jesus, right?
Oh, of course.
So take somebody that maybe is misdepicted or struggled sure. in that.
Oh yeah.
How do they, what does that look like as far as helping them?
You know, every person, actually, we, you know, here in America, we all say that we speak the language of English, but if we're being honest with ourselves, every person has their own language that they can only be reached with only what the Lord knows. And so, to be honest with you, a lot of different videos, when people look at what I do, like, you know, what the Lord has called me to, it does kind of look like I'm all over the place, because I'll be honest, I kind of am.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people all over the place. And whether it's making a video about the California fires and speaking the truth that they deserve to know, or whether it's in Virginia this past month celebrating Thanksgiving, the Lord told me and my wife to stop at the Planned Parenthood on the way, and that there was going to be a baby there that we would see saved. And we had never done this before. This was just last month. And so we pulled to the side. We got some Crumble gift cards because the Lord said, women love cookies. Can I get an amen? Look, my wife will say amen in the back. and oh, so listen,
you totally lead me to Jesus with a cookie.
I'm telling you. Most people, when they like sidewalk counsel, yes. Most people, when they sidewalk counsel, they like people don't want to talk to them at all. Yeah. And then it's just yelling. But women came flocking to us. It was amazing. Sure enough, there's a mom that had just taken the pill. And we got talking to her. We were able to reverse the process. There's an amazing abortion reversal pill process.
Wow.
And we successfully saw the reversal. There's another mom who had an appointment scheduled for a 20-week abortion 2 weeks from then. She canceled it. The dad gave his life to Christ. They were 2 months behind on rent. I could go in on more. But we saw God move. But we realized, we asked ourselves, where are the other believers? Because we don't even live here. And we just are trying to go to celebrate Thanksgiving with our family. And we just stopped by. Like, Lord, would you wake people up? And that's what I encourage every viewer right now. Wake up, pray about what the Lord would have you do in your city, your area, and get connected to ministries like Troy's here. And you start getting in the flow of those who care for God's kids. He will use you guys. And I'll also just drop a hint. By the way, you guys can all do the kingdom of God a favor. Sorry, I have to say this. Call your local Planned Parenthood and just give them act as if you're a young mom, or just talk to them, okay? And then go leave them a Google review and a 1-star. And of course, you're only testifying of your experience. So this is all legal, by the way. We're going to wreck Planned Parenthoods all across the country by Google reviewing them, Troy, because we'll take down every mom that will look up for an abortion. She might just see that 1-star review, and Google will actually stop ranking Planned Parenthood. Sorry. See, I'm all over the place. So I have to talk about this. But
wait, stop. Stop. So you can Google review abortion clinics.
And you can actually, your Google reviews, any small business knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you have 100 1-star reviews, you're done. You're done. Nobody's going to trust you. Also, the Google algorithm won't rank you when people search for you. People can help their pro-life pregnancy centers by leaving them 5-star reviews as well. And I've seen the evidence of this. There's a pregnancy center we've been helping, and they rank now at the top of search results for if someone searches abortion near me. They rank, which means moms end up saving their babies instead of going amazing. To Planned Parenthood. See, but anyways, these things, I never knew any of these things. So I am all over the place because there's things the Lord is doing and people are complicated. They'll always be complicated. Yeah. And so ministry will always be complicated.
How do people plug into your ministry? How do people find out about Gabe Perot? How do they do that?
Yeah, well, they could just go over to the YouTube channel. That's the primary spot that I tell everyone to go to. I will say I'm working on the testimony book. I've really not been released to share a lot of things so far. However, when the Lord does have me release the book, they'll enjoy it. So yeah, that's where they'll find it when it comes out in the future.
Man, dude, we need to do some more shows together. I'd like, I would love to at some time in the future, I would love to tell you about the time I saw Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
I would love to tell you about that. And walk you through it, because it was a 1 hour and 33 minute experience to the second. As soon as it happened, I was aware of a clock, and I was aware of exactly how long the whole thing was going to take place. And I was aware to the last two. I mean, I knew 15 minutes into it, I had X amount of time left. And so I knew this, that. And there was a point where I got to look at Jesus for 17 minutes, literally just look at him. And like I'm looking at you right now, when I look at his hair, there was a revelation in every single thing saw.
Yeah. Every molecule in his body spoke something to you.
It spoke something amazing.
And it was multi-layered as well at the same time.
Yeah. So we've both seen the same Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't have to have my head cracked. And I praise God for that. All I had to do. But dude, yeah, I was going through unbelievable hell. Some joker had come into my ministry and into my personal finances and stolen everything I had. And this was in 2015. This is 10 years ago. Somebody that was in charge of my finances. And I was like, I'm done. I'm toast. And oh my gosh, and this devil did this. I can't believe that they had the capacity to do this and I didn't have the capacity to know it. And this, all this stuff. I went to bed that night, and I had an encounter with Jesus in a sign. And he told me at the end of this thing, you're never going to fight this battle again. You're done. I'm taking care of it. And I've never had to fight that battle since then. And the Lord took care of it. I woke up the brokest person I knew, which I always have been the brokest person. All my life, whoever all my friends were, I was always the poor guy among them. And I was always that guy. And I woke up and I told Leanna two different things. I saw Jesus and I got to tell you about it. And we will never be in poverty again, ever. It's over.
Come on.
And it was over.
Come on.
It wasn't very long after that. I'm talking about within a couple of months. A book that I had written 18 years earlier, Numbers That Preach, written this book 18 years earlier.
Come on.
Self-published it through, I'm always interested in who publishes what. I self-published this through somebody called Aventine Press.
Wow.
Big shout out to my friends out of Aventine. I'm definitely their number one bestseller, tell you that. I am.
Yeah.
And we sold, all of a sudden, without a marketing plan, without a website, we sold hundreds of thousands of these books. Everybody started buying it. And I'd written it 18 years earlier.
Wow.
Sold less than 300 copies in 18 years.
Wow.
And then it sold hundreds of thousands of copies without a website, without a business plan, without a marketing plan. Jesus just did that. And everybody started talking Numbers That Preach.
It's easy for him right there.
It is easy for him. And Jesus did that for me. I'll just go ahead and tell everybody. Do you know how much money I made off of book sales that year? I made $4 million.
Praise God.
Do you know what I did with that $4 million? I built rescue centers.
For the kids, yep.
All over the world.
Yep, I believe.
And I started rescuing kids like never, ever, ever before, which meant I had to hire the staffing for that. I had to do the staffing. I had to hire the security teams. I had to hire all the, and we went through that $4 million like it was 25 bucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I would have never imagined that. I would have thought, it takes a long time to spend $4 million. Not in the kid business, adult. I promise you that.
Yeah.
And so we did that. And God Almighty, I mean, and now those things are established. You know, we have thousands and thousands of kids under our care because it all started with the sale of this book, and which I couldn't have made that happen. And again, it was 18 years, that 18 thing again, right?
You know, there's a, Troy, what the Lord has released over you is an alignment for your time clock to actually start aligning with His.
So right.
And here's where people will never understand you because they keep trying to fit you into their understanding of time. They keep trying to fit your words into their understanding of time. And when the truth of the matter is, like you say, all right, Gabe, you're in the coma for 18 days. And yes, I was in the coma for 18 days, and there's a truth to that.
Yeah, but
that's 1/100th of the real truth, because the only 18 days is only the time that you're aware on this earth. It's similar to a two-year-old when they're about to turn three, man. When they turn three, that is like it takes the longest they've ever waited. Like if you tell a two-year-old they have to wait another year, they're going to lose their mind. Because why? Their entire measurement of time is measured against the subjective reality of their experience. And when you measure time against the subjective reality, against the King himself, eternity himself, you're playing another ball game. See, and I want people to start to understand this, because if they will hear the words that the Lord is giving to you, the Lord will unlock a clock within their soul that will finally break loose where they've been standing for so many. And I even hear this. The Lord says there's many viewers who have been stuck on a day for years and years and even decades and decades. And I hear the Lord saying right now over you, a breaking of that yoke, a breaking of that yes. abuse, a breaking of that chain right yes. now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Father God, I agree yes, with you. Lord. God, I agree with you for that chain to break right now. Over that daughter of yours that at a young age, I even see a weapon pointed at her in Jesus' name. I thank you for that chain breaking right now. I thank you. She gives you praise because she realizes that you were there with her, protecting her. I pray you release her from all that trauma in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Troy, I just encourage everyone that if they will start aligning themselves with the time clock from heaven, they will see their past wiped clean, and they won't be on a plan B, but they'll see how the plan A never changed. So I encourage everyone to just take off the blindfolds and accept the truth.
Do you know about my book called Redeeming Your Timeline?
I don't.
Okay. So it's one of the things I left from my encounter with the Lord is how God redeems time.
Come on.
I have a book that's called Redeeming Your Timeline.
I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Praise God.
I need to give it to you, and you Please. Need to, and we need to do some shows together on it, because I can't Please. Tell you how much I agree with what you just said. I totally get it. I totally get what you just said, and I'm a huge time freak, and I left that encounter with the Lord understanding there was heaven's time, there was my time, and for those things to be in sync meant heaven got to invade earth.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, I started doing a huge study on all that, and the Word of God says that the definition of the curse is that in the morning you'll say, I wish it was evening, and in the evening you'll say, I wish it was morning. So to be in sync with heaven's clock, which time is not measured in heaven, but heaven is perspective of what they call in heaven the world clock. They're like, the world clock has this much time left in it. And your time and the days that God Almighty gives you, because he gives you the number of your days, which is not your identity in heaven. It's your growth on earth and your impact on earth. Yep. The number of days that you get has nothing to do with your identity in heaven.
Yeah.
The heaven version of you is very, very, very different, right? And the earth version of you is very developmental. It's very, very, and so the reason why, like Adam wasn't even subject to time until he sinned. In the day that you eat of the knowledge of tree of the good and evil, you shall surely die. A day is to the Lord 1,000 years. He lived to be, 960 years later is when he died. And it's like, okay, 930. He lived to be 930 years old. So he died on that day. But the clock didn't start ticking until he sinned, because time was made for the purposes of redemption. Time is the only place that you can say that was then, this is now, and this is my next. It's the only place where you can change the line. And it was made for the purposes of redemption. Well, we're just about done with all that. Yep. Jesus is coming back soon. And you're either on his team or you're not. And so at the end of the Word of God, it says, and time shall be no more. Once you're done with all the redemptive purposes of the Lord, you have no reason to even mess with time. So anyway, we need to get together. We need.
And it's all going to be wrapped up like a blanket, a towel. And the Lord's going to just put it all away one day.
Yes, sir, yes.
And including in what he's going to wrap up, it's not just going to be like the earth. It's not just like the earth is going to melt away. It's our very awareness of time is going to be wrapped up like a towel and put away on the shelf.
And then how we are in that place is how we've always been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even it says, and I will remember your sins no more. That's what the Word of God says. God says that. He's like, okay, are we done with this memory of all this mm-hmm. battle stuff? Like, yeah, let's do this way. There it goes.
But he said that before your sins even happened, right? So what does it have to mean exactly. if God says their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more, but he said that 2,000 years before you ever sinned.
Yes, sir.
And now you're getting down to the truth of how the blood of Christ is thicker than the dimension of your current past.
Absolutely. I got to tell you this, because if this is something I say all the time, since God Almighty is the maker of time, and we know that he is, and that's hard for people to understand, because we think of God in terms of Father Time, and he's not Father Time. He created time. Time is a created construct that he actually created, and it's something that he put together for his purposes. And so on the fourth day, God Almighty created the material universe, and he created the sun and the moon and the stars, and he created them for signs, seasons, days, and years. That's Genesis 1:14. And he did all that, and he created all that, and he created the clock, and he made all that happen. Even though there was measurements of the first day, second day, and third day, the sun wasn't even invented in that form of measurement and the actual material universe until the fourth day. So he gets up, and he shows up, and he gives us this time thing. But he says, I'm just going to put a pause on it, and once I create Adam, I'm going to hang out with him in the garden, and it's just going to be about my presence and his and my dominion and me handing it off as you hand off the replication of a seed to a seed to a seed to a seed. That's why he made him a divine gardener. And he says, we're going to be together until the day he's like, I showed up and you weren't there. What happened? Well, and then he goes into his whole deal. Okay, well, literally when their eyes were open, that's when he entered into the time realm. And it's for the purposes of redemption so that God Almighty can work relationally in a redemptive work. It's a big deal. But what I was going to say is this. If God can give you a new future, I mean, Schwartz, you believe God can give you a new future?
Absolutely.
If he can give you a new future, then he can give you a new past.
Yes. Absolutely. Yep.
Absolutely, he can give you a history.
Yep.
He, the creator of the universe, the redeemer of all things, right this second can give you a different history than what you had 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
2,000%.
His blood speaks a better word.
That's why the cross is so powerful, is because it wasn't just a one-time moment. People say things like, yes, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. No, he actually didn't. And I hate to do that. Lord, how much can I say here?
We're behind the
veil. Jesus operates, the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, all three operate within the veil of now. And both the future and the past are wrapped into now. And so, yes, while in your own understanding it happened 2,000 years ago, but in the understanding of Christ, actually, he is continually being crucified and raised back to life at every single moment in every single place for your victory. But as soon as you realize this, this is faith in Christ. When you realize this, you will then become victorious in every single place and every single time, just like Christ planned. But of course, if you just want to walk in your own understanding, never mind.
Here's how God showed it to me. See this light bar right here? I was sitting at a train track, and this train was 100 and something cars long, and I looked all the way down, and I couldn't see the end that way, and I looked all the way down, and I couldn't see the end of that, and that's miserable hell for Troy Brewer to have to sit at a train track. I'm not the kind of guy that you just put on pause and make me sit there for 20 minutes. I'm not that guy. I'll lose my tree. And I'm losing my mind, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, what a miserable hell this is, King Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord, I felt the Spirit of God inside my truck, and then it just made sense to be 1,000 feet above that train. I don't know how Jesus did that, but it made sense. I could see the beginning and the end all at the same exact time, and Jesus told me, this is your timeline, and this is humanity's timeline. And look, and I could see Jesus dying on the cross at the same exact time that I could see Samson pulling down the pillars, at the same exact time that I could see David, at the same exact time I could see me sitting there at that train track. I saw it all at the same exact time.
Yep.
And he's like, see, I'm not on the train, sure. I'm above the train. And I can enter the train anywhere I want to right this second. And the Lord showed me all that.
Amen. I fully agree. And he doesn't just enter the train. He is the train. He is the train. Like, yeah. It's his very molecule. He doesn't I say that because he doesn't have to think about loving you, Troy.
Yes.
Your heavenly Father never even had to thought about whether or not he was your father or whether you were his son.
So good.
You were his son. He didn't try to love you. He loved you.
And so he's just going to make all that work to where that's the way it works out.
Not because he has to even try or even think about it. He is, Troy, because he doesn't even have to travel there. He is there. Again, I apologize. I have to speak in English because you're only nut. Tongues would.
You're a straight up nut, man.
Well, that's why you have to be born again. Like there, it's you're born from an age. It's like you can't. Jesus said you can't even see the kingdom unless you're born again. He says you can't enter unless you're born of water and spirit. Awesome.
Can I tell you this? It's a little bit insulting that you're having to use English for me here right now. Can't you do any better than that, Schwartz?
Can I just talk in tongues? Can we just? Yes.
There's power in this revelation, though. I feel like once you understand these things, you can start, really tapping into prayer with this and just really start to have breakthrough in a lot of areas of your life once you
realize this. You mentioned something. This is why self-help stuff in the time-space continuum, it's all developmental. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about is you're actually whole, working from wholeness, not trying to piece together wholeness. We're actually whole and living from that. And that's a whole different way of praying. Most people pray trying to get somewhere. Yep. And the Jesus taught to pray. No, this is how you pray.
You're
already there. You've already won. You've already been healed. You know, it's just a whole. That's why self-help without this revelation only leads to development, not transformation.
If you ever look at Mark 11, you'll actually see how Jesus tore the veil behind everything when he said it's not even about the fruit. He identified the fruit, but then he got back to the root. He said this tree ought to be producing fruit, not because it needs to try so hard, but the tree should have known its identity. See, and he was really getting it. He was actually speaking prophetically of the Pharisees and Sadducees that were supposed to be the tree of life and supposed to be the voices of God, but they weren't at all.
He curses that fig tree at the roots.
He cursed the face of religion at its root. And see, when we understand our identity, it's not trying to be good enough for God. It's not trying to make it to heaven. It's not about trying to be the good Christian. Instead, it's just understanding I'm a son now. Understanding I'm a chosen, accepted, loved son of God now. See, if I can walk in that identity, I never even have to think about whether or not I'm going to sin, whether or not I'm going to fall into this, whether or not I'm going to try to do that. Instead, it's just everything else is just a fruit. It's just a natural output of what is already understood in the input.
Yeah. Friends, we're talking with our good friend here, Gabriel Perot, but you can call him Gabe. Friends, you can find his book. His book is called Built Differently. Where do they find that at?
Yeah, it's in stores everywhere. Now, I will say, I originally wrote this 3 or 4 years ago. It was originally wrote for teens and ages, I would say, 9 to 18. However, my grandpa, it's gone viral in the retirement communities now. They're eating it up, so it's really for everybody. But especially if you're watching this and you have a grandkid or you have a kid who's young adult, teen, young teen age, I really suggest getting this Devo for you. And it's understanding your identity. It was my main focus. And I wrote it before my accident, and then I had to go back and rewrite it all after learning some things. Yeah, it's a great book. If you have a grandkid or a kid, they'll really enjoy it as a gift for them. And then I do ask everyone to just be praying with me for the testimony book. So we're done with the first draft, but
it's a big deal, man. And I can't wait to see your testimony book. I'm going to write a book on my encounter one of these days as well.
Please.
But I want to tell you, you're making a great contribution to the body of Jesus just in how you carry the presence of the Lord with you.
Amen.
It's a lot of fun to look at, just to kick back and watch you burn, buddy. It's good. I look forward to getting to know you better and better and being good friends with you. You're going to love me. I've only known a couple of people didn't like me, and they were all stupid. So I would encourage you. Anyway, guys, I want to encourage you guys to go to his website and check it out. Now, look here. When we go behind the veil here in just a minute, we're all going to clear this thing up. We're going to change all these screens, and we're going to do his show, and I'm going to let you guys stay on. And I'm going to have to act a lot better and put on a jacket and not be acting so silly and actually act like I know what I'm doing and see if I can't fool anybody. But what's real is we're going to be doing his show. We're going to be doing that, and I'm going to let you guys hang out and be a great big part of that. So we're going to do that behind the veil. If you're coming in for the ODX conference, the special time, or the conference, the Breath of God conference, where I'm going to be talking about our prophetic word for the year to come, and man, you talk about abounding grace. It's the year of abounding grace, the 5x5. It is the year of the open window, right on. Like, how is it that? It is so many different things, and it's the year of triumph in the zeal of the Lord, and I'm going to be unpacking all those things Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning, guys. We're going to be feeding more than 4,000 people as we always do at the Open Door Food Bank, celebrating our 35th year of the Open Door Food Bank. Can you believe that? Can you believe I've been doing that food bank for 35 years?
Extraordinary.
It is something else. I can't believe I'm that old, man. What happened? How old are you, Schwartz?
53.
Hey, guys, time doesn't exist, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
You're the. My birthday's the 5th.
Your birthday's the 5th?
Yours is 6th.
Mine's the 6th.
53.
I'm the big 5'8". I just turned 58, man. There you go.
Great number.
I still got some hair, and I still got most of my teeth. Okay, let's continue. So if you're going to be behind the veil, we're going to stay and we're going to do this thing. So guys, I want to say thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much, man, for hanging out. I sure hope to see you at the conference Saturday morning. I want to see you out at the Open Door Food Bank. Saturday night, I want to see you at our star party, where I'm going to be pointing out all the constellations, the heavenly events, and how the heavens declare the glory of God. I, like you, sir, am all over the map. That happens when you have encounters with Jesus. It makes you...
That's why Moses needed an Aaron. I don't think he stuttered. I think he had... I think he literally...
He said 25 things at once, or what?
That encounter changed everything.
Interesting.
Needed an interpreter. Okay. Someone too.
Well, I'm going to be doing a star party here. We also have a luncheon with Patricia King. We have another event. We got all kinds of craziness that's going on this week. Guys, come out and be a great big part of it. If you want more information about it, you can call 877-413-0888. I'm going to turn this over to Zach as he turns this over to Behind the Veil. Here we go.
All right, guys, don't forget to share this episode. Powerful stuff here that I really feel like can help people along their walk with Christ and just experience God in a supernatural way and just redeeming their timeline. So we appreciate you tuning in. If you want to go to odx.tv and sign up for Stage 2 or Stage 3, you can do that there. And it's really supporting what we're doing and all the mission work here. So we'll see you then. And thank you so much. And we'll see you next time.